Welcome to episode number 6 of the Kakaowas Pranamoa podcast.
Wow, can you believe it?
Yeah, already 6 episodes.
We are on a roll, my love.
That's amazing. And super excited to continue today with another episode because we had a little break last week, straight away from our weekly rhythm. So here we are back again after 1 week of a pause because we finally moved into our new home, our house on our land here in the jungle.
It is amazing to be sitting here in this house. We've been talking about actually, you know, giving these podcasts in the house, recording, and here we are.
Yeah, we always had the dream of having a cozy space at home where, you know, there are no neighbors or different other road noises, construction, whatever. Just having a cozy place where we can just turn on our microphones whenever we want and record another episode or record music.
And so this is really inspiring for all the listeners on here who've been following our journey. It's inspiring to see dreams become realized. So thanks for being part of that.
And so first of all, I would like to start with reading all of you some parts of an email we got. We got an email from a listener, which really touched our hearts and was really beautiful for us to hear because, you know, we are just starting out with a podcast. We are a couple of weeks in and we basically didn't really have any idea if, you know, if there will be of any value to people, what they will think.
We knew it would have a value.
Okay, yeah, we knew. But, you know, it's okay. We don't know which people this is reaching, and so it's always nice to hear from people, like get like feedback,
especially people that have never even met us, and you know,
exactly.
Ones that we don't even, you know, you're as a listener, sometimes we don't even know who you are, where you are, if you're listening. So it's a really a big joy to us to receive fan mail or, you know, these love letters.
Another inspiration for you to reach out, any feedback, any questions, any input. We love that. So we got this email and we wrote to Christy, is her name. Christy Claybaker, hello to you. Hope you listen to this as well. And we got this beautiful email and I don't read the whole email, but I'm just going to read part of it. So basically she said, or just like reiterated, she said, so she stumbled across our podcast because she was looking if someone else already has a podcast with a name, Kakao With, you know, because she wanted to do a Kakao With Christy podcast. And the story behind it is super beautiful. So she came across our podcast by searching it. And then she said she listened to the first episodes of the podcast and she really just fell in love with it and with us, which is super beautiful. Thank you so much again. And she wrote different things she liked. And so, yeah, the Life is a Ceremony concept. And so the story behind why she was looking for a podcast name is so she wants to start her own podcast. And the beautiful story behind it is that she wants to start her own podcast with her dad. So she said she likes to beginning a series of sharing conversations with my dad over cacao. He is scheduled to have a pacemaker and an internal defibrillator installed. So she wrote that email right before the surgery of her dad. And the whole concept of the podcast is that, yeah, they're going to talk and they're going to share stories. And I think, you know, whenever these things happen that we have scenarios of, you know, health issues, illness, challenges to overcome, and then we notice that our friends and our family members especially, they get older and we get older. So we notice that, okay, maybe, you know, time is so valuable and relationships are so valuable. And that was so beautiful. So they, both of them, they want to start the podcast. And eventually she said he will want to write a book about his life and all the miracles he has experienced to still be alive. So I don't know all the details about it, but it sounds amazing, right? And so the story about cacao is that he has been drinking cacao for his own heart health.
His heart, yes.
Yeah, his heart health. And has recently awakened after his attempted suicide a couple of years ago. So that's sounds all like a super beautiful story and super personal as well. So thank you, Christy, for sharing that with us. And also thank you for sharing that with the world in your podcast. And so we had an email conversation, and her dad as well. That's great. So after the surgery. And I think she said that she already started with creating and started with the podcast. So that's awesome. So super amazing that, that she reached out to us. Thank you, Christy, again. It's nice to hear, super amazing to hear for us from people that actually get inspired and then just start and do something with it. You know, inspiration is number one, the step number one. And then most people stop right there. So it's really cool if we can inspire people to just take action and go for it and do it. And especially with such a beautiful story. And I really believe that it needs more people like that, that can share so vulnerably and openly, share their experiences and share about the challenges. And it's super beautiful to see. So she said, thank you for the inspiration to move forward and through some of my own limiting beliefs. And so, yeah, that was really beautiful to hear. And so for everyone that is, I'm going to share the location for her. So she said she is in Missouri, in Springfield, Missouri, USA, and she has a Cacao with Christy Facebook group too. So for anyone that's interested in cacao, in the world of cacao in Missouri.
So in Missouri.
Yeah, who knows?
Sweetie, do you know where Missouri is?
I have no idea.
It's next to Alabama.
Alabama.
On top of Florida.
That's little awesome.
States trivia. Yeah, so that's so cool because it's amazing that listeners are coming in from all over. So we're so excited to get to know you all more. And
yes,
keep sending us letters like this. And yeah.
That's really such a beautiful story and really touched my heart.
Inspires us to keep going with these episodes. I mean, sweetie, you last week when we missed our podcast episode because of moving, you know, I loved how dedicated, inspired and motivated you were. And we tried every day to record and it just, you know, full on moving. So we're really excited to be here today, to be back.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's such a beautiful way to start a podcast. And so today's topic is a special one. We talk about the number one thing that one of the probably number one, number two things that people say, oh, you don't talk about that, which is money.
Money. Yeah. Wow.
So the funny thing is that the story behind this topic especially is that before we started the podcast, one of the big reasons why we said, okay, we really got to do it finally, is that we always had these conversations like over dinner or different other moments when we were talking. And I remember especially one time we got into the whole topic of abundance, money, investing, because we both have really different backgrounds and different experiences, different life journeys for ourselves, for professions, for family. So we had a super inspiring conversation that lasted, I think, like 1.5 hours or so. So, and then we said, oh, this would have been such a great podcast episode. We should finally start our podcast. So here it is. After 5 episodes, we finally get to the episode about abundance, money, mindset, patterns, everything you got to know, all our experiences, all the different approaches to it. And it's going to be exciting and juicy.
I'm excited to see what comes up. I mean, if we're talking about juicy and intimate details, there definitely has been a lot of change and shifts in our lives. So I'm excited to see what comes through here.
Yeah, I think there's so many things to talk about here.
Where do we begin?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so I would say let's describe, just for you to know as a listener, just maybe we describe our backgrounds a little bit, where we came from. That gives some context and then we go from there.
I like that. So I guess I can start.
Yeah, if you want to.
Okay. So I grew up in a only child with two parents working as teachers, and I grew up very supported and very, I was given generously everything I could possibly want. So I did earn things. I worked jobs ever since I was 14. I had an eBay business where I took pictures and sold things on eBay and wrote descriptions. And I did that. I had my own online horse clubs. I was very entrepreneurial. I worked as a waitress in the summer before college. I worked through college. I worked four jobs as a calculus tutor. I worked outside the men's locker room at the athletic center, which was a great job.
Most funny job.
Handed towels to the sweaty, hot college boys. And I did catering at the football games. I did, I was a tour guide. So I did many jobs throughout college.
Many jobs,
like four jobs. And then I have a strong work ethic. So I went to Wall Street after. And then...
We can stop right there.
Then we stop there for a sec. Okay.
Yeah. What is the... How did you earn your first money? You remember that?
As a child, I found quarters under the cushions of the couch. And then the second thing...
But that was in your house. Under the cushions of your house?
I wonder if my parents actually put the money there because they knew I would look for it.
That's not earning money. That's finding money.
Okay, so the earning money was my friend and I would pick dandelions in the... Because her dad didn't like the dandelions are weeds. So I think they're beautiful, but we picked them and everyone, he gave us either a penny or 5 cents.
That's amazing.
We were little girls, yeah.
That's amazing. You gonna ask me how I earned my first money?
Do I know this, newspaper boy?
No, way earlier.
Oh, so the flea markets?
Yeah.
Flea markets.
Well, but the beginning.
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so my background, and then I'll tell you the answer of the question, is really funny. So I grew up with my mom, and then I have a younger brother. So, yeah, my dad wasn't living in the same city. So my mom was a single mom in that sense with both of us. And, yeah, so we are always... Yeah, we had everything we needed. And at the same time, we had to be conscious about, and resourceful. I call it resourceful, resourceful about things. And yeah, my mom obviously had to take care of both of us and work at the same time, which right now, many, many years later, I know how much of a challenge that is and must be because I'm a dad myself. So then you know how much work it takes to raise a child, how much attention and love and care. So really appreciate that she did it, how she did it. And yeah, so that said, we have a different upbringing. You have both of your parents as teachers and with good income and both working and being there, and you being a single child, your only child. And for me, it's your only one parent in that sense. And different financial setup in the first place. Yeah, which we can dive deeper into later, what difference that brought up. And so my first, earning for me, my first way to earn money was actually, so I used to do a lot of flea markets when I was very young and, selling my toys and also buying things in flea markets. And when I started out, I was really, really young. So I don't even know couple of years old, I don't know, right in front of our house. I set up, and I was so young that I didn't even really have something to sell, I just had some, these little toys that you get in, that you find in these chocolate eggs. You have it's a German brand, but you have the chocolate eggs.
Cadbury? No.
It's like Kinder, the Kinder brand. Mm-hmm. You have in German they call surprise eggs. Because, there's like a chocolate egg and then inside you have a plastic ball that you can open and then you have a toy in there, like a figure of something, sometimes, famous things like from comics or something, sometimes little toys that you can, like little cars or something. So I had a bunch of them and I was trying to sell. I don't even know what else I had. I just had things like that basically don't really have any value, not really. And I set up my little blanket there and I just remember that I didn't really sell anything, but there was like an elderly woman that came up and gave me money anyway, like a dollar or something.
so cute.
That was funny. But that was the start of my pretty successful flea market career that then also moved into selling things on eBay and all that. So the summary would be that both of us, at least that's a cool thing to have in common, that we both started working early and we both learned that if we want to have something, we gotta earn our own money. And although your parents had different financial resources than my parents, and you always got everything you needed or wanted, all that, or they still taught you that, which I think is important, that, you know, okay, you gotta earn your own money and do that.
Yeah, that's the thing. They made it very clear to me that it, yeah, I could have what I wanted, but I also needed to work hard and earn it. So they wanted to make sure I wasn't just given everything and spoiled rotten, but that I actually knew how to make my own money, earn. How they taught me a really, now I see it was a very, very powerful work ethic that sometimes I burnt out, but that's another story. I really learned the importance of having the financial sovereignty and the power of what money can do, how you can really enjoy your life with time, with enjoying what you purchase for pleasure. That's a thing that my parents taught me a lot, is that they both spend money on fun. So yeah, that's a big topic.
I think that's something I had to learn for myself to really do that. Because I grew up, it was really about being resourceful. I learned to be very resourceful, and I learned to appreciate the value of things. And I learned to, you know, put some research in, you know, where you buy things, compare prices. And so I learned all these kind of things that it's very simple, in very simple ways you can really save some money and get more for the money you have. That's all about that. And then what I also learned, so I learned the value of things, being it early on, like toys or books or, you know, Legos, these kind of things. I learned that they have value, and I learned that the nicer I keep the things, the better stays the value. And so then when I started to sell these things on flea markets, I got more money for it. You know, I kept the boxes, I kept the instruction papers, you know, I kept it all really nice. And then what I always did, I sold it, you know, like new. It's like, it's as new. So, and then you get really good money for it. You know, it's all complete, you know, these kind of things. So, and then you, of course, later I grew up. So I bought my first, you know, iPod Touch or iPhone on eBay at that time, and or on a flea market somewhere. So again, I kept that very nice. You know, I kept it as a case and all that stuff. And then I sold it eventually for still a good price, you know. So I learned the value of things, and I learned to keep things nice, and I learned that that is a resource for me. So if I keep it and I use it, and then I can buy something else. So that's a really cool thing for me that I learned. At the same time, I think what you said, that you learned to, you know, spend money on fun and things. And for me, it was a bit more, let's say, yeah, I was a bit more, you know, saving money and saving my resources, so to speak. And even later on when I grew up, you know, was still be very conscious about how I spent money. And so I had to learn to spend more money just, you know, for fun and just on things that are just, you know, like buying drinks somewhere, you know, where it's just like, okay, you throw it out and it's gone.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because I grew up with the, yes, work hard, earn it, and then buy whatever your heart desires. And I'm really grateful for my parents for both their examples, because my mom loves to shop. She uses shopping as therapy, and, you know, it's a little bit, you know, sometimes I see it and I'm like, wow, does really need all of those shoes? Though at the same time, if it makes her very, very happy. And I think that's beautiful that, you know, everyone has their own choice of what makes them happy. For my dad, it's having a bunch of kayaks and, you know, his swimming pool room and his, you know, his things. And I think that's also really cool that they gave me that example of spend your money on what lights you up, and they also save. They also own their house and they also save their money, and they have their retirement funds, and they've done it in a way that because they've done that, they've made their life so beautiful in a way that they can also spend on what they enjoy.
Yeah. I think that's a really cool example, because they managed to have the freedom of doing these things. There might not always be the, you know, the most, you know, how to say that without offending anyone. I mean, so it's just, you know, when you buy things that, you know, maybe you don't really need, or maybe, I don't know, like, it just, you can allow yourself to do that when you are really you know, when you do your homework, so to speak, which sounds boring, but I mean, what I mean by that is when you are set up well, and when you do the things you take care of everything else and all the important things, and you have a stable foundation, then it doesn't really matter. And you can buy that thing, and you can buy that thing, and you can don't really think about that and just doing like an impulsive thing there. It's fine, you know. And then that's inspiring, actually, to be able to do that. So that's a cool.
I've had phases of my life where I've done that, and I've had cushions of money and savings, and it's an ebb and flow currently, to be honest. But the times that I have had savings and done those fun things, like took myself out on retreats and traveled the world and did that still having money in my account, still having an emergency fund. I mean, that's what is really aspirational, to get to that place again, because I'd love to talk about that too. How do we get there? How do we get to that place? And, you know, maybe we jump into the topic of, you know, investments and how we start saving consciously. Yeah.
Super interesting, because so when we two met, the sort of funny thing was, I had this impression of you that you were, you know, all like, you know, super established and well set up financially, and just, you know, you're doing good with your, you know, your projects and your income and whatever you were doing and your lifestyle, without knowing you so much. And yeah, you know, all the fancy things and the supplements and your big truck that wasn't yours, but
the big truck. You saw my big truck. You liked me for my big truck.
It's just
truck.
Interesting. You seem to be very, you know, just like, you know, free, like financially free and enjoying all that. And then we together uncovered some other things, and
taxes.
Then we helped each other to clean up some of the things.
Yes.
And we went really deep. I mean, that's what happens, you know, when you move in together and you live together eventually.
You can't hide anything anymore.
Yeah, and you shouldn't. I mean, that's the point
of
being together and wanting to build a future together. And eventually also, we super early bought land together. That might be another
story. Eventually, 30 days after meeting.
Yeah. We got land together also with money that we didn't really have at that time, which is a whole different story. So it's not like, oh, we are like two rich people here and we, you know, we just tell you about money.
You know, we are rich in the sense of the way that we live our life is definitely, you know, oof, I'm so grateful.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I'm just, you know, just to give context, just sharing some experience. And yeah, I mean, we can call ourselves very proud land and house owners now here in Costa Rica, which is absolutely amazing. And it was a powerful journey of learnings. But yeah, so when we met, we uncovered a bunch of things about each other. And also we talked about each other's, you know, mindset and experiences and approaches to things. And then we helped each other out with some of the things. And I think these are cool stories to tell.
So I think that's really jumping back to that topic of when you met me and I had this image of being, you know, super financially well off. Well, the truth is I was at one point.
And you worked on Wall Street. So,
I worked on Wall Street.
For an investment banking company.
For two different investment banks. And I did great. And I was making six figures before, when I left. I was making $111,000. And I did not save. So I basically I had a lot of health bills with my thyroid condition. I was going to a lot of different naturopathic doctors and, you know, doctors out of network for my health insurance. I was going to holistic OBGYNs. I was going to holistic dentists. I was going to, you know, spas and doing all the things for my health to feel better. And so I spent a lot of money on my health and my apartment actually too. So I was spending a lot of money on a penthouse, and I was giving yoga classes up there at the same time before I quit my job and completely went to yoga. Though when I did go into my wellness career and that, I basically started breaking even for all my expenses and my lifestyle that I had lived when I lived on Wall Street or when I worked on Wall Street.
So you had to catch up a little bit.
So I had to catch up, and I didn't have savings. I just had my 401k retirement fund, which I stopped contributing to when I left finance. So when I accumulated quite a bit of money when I was in finance, and my parents had told me, keep contributing because you still have the account and you can still put money in. But I stopped. Because I wasn't getting the salary that I was getting before. So I basically stopped saving and then used up all my money. And then I moved to LA And I still had a very, I lived the lifestyle I lived when I worked on Wall Street. I still bought expensive things. I got all my fancy supplements. I would spend $50 almost every day at this really classy grocery, artisanal grocery store called Erewhon in LA.
That's so funny.
$50 a day.
Yeah, when we first went to LA traveling together after we met, and we went to Erewhon and we bought just like $15 smoothie or something.
That was at Cafe Gratitude, but yes, also. And Erewhon, the dinners, the buffet dinners, it's like goodness. Just wild. I mean, a matcha there. Can you imagine a pumpkin seed matcha with a drop of CBD oil is like $16 or something like that. It's nuts. So if you can imagine living on a yoga teacher's salary, yeah, I have a very successful online business. And at the time it was really thriving. So I did well, but I didn't save. And so many years of that catching up to me and then moving to Costa Rica and then living most of my life on online work and retreats and then also living in Costa Rica and still living, you know, I've never really sacrificed. I'm a Taurus, so I'm really about beauty and aesthetic and having a nice home and having a comfortable space. So I've always lived at my means or even beyond my means and made it work. So when you met me, if we fast forward to that, when you met me, I had just left Santa Teresa and came, it's another part of Costa Rica, and came over to this side. And at that time I had bought land in Santa Teresa. So I owned land. And I had owned a car that I gave to my mechanic to take, to work on and then sell. But ended up, he didn't fix that car. And the car that I ended up buying from him, he ended up not giving me. So I was out $17,000. And my old car that never got fixed. So at that time, I was in a big loss. I was renting this epic truck, this huge truck.
For way too much money.
For like almost $2,000 a month, something like that.
$1,500
a month, okay.
That's correction. A funny thing. So that's a couple difference of it. Like, even I know some of the amounts of you better than yourself.
That's how deep our relationship's gotten, that we could go into these scenarios and like go deep into taxes and helping each other. And, you know, we've been so entwined in finances, which is actually a really cool thing, because I was hiding that under the rug for so much of my last years of life, you know. And even when I was dating, I never let anyone know what my financial story was, you know?
Yeah.
It's I don't know. Kind of embarrassing.
I don't know how we
sometimes.
Did it. Yeah, I don't know how we did it and how we got to talk about it so fast. I mean, I guess it started with the fact that we started looking at land together.
Yeah.
And we both didn't really have all the money. Because like I said, you had land and which you're going to sell. Anyway, so I wanted to insert another realization. So basically, from our personal stories, through all the different factors, we could talk a long time, but we don't have to, about them. Upbringing and all these things and mindsets and experiences and all that. But so we came basically from kind of opposite sides. And then it's really helpful because both of us could inspire each other. We did inspire each other to balance it out a bit more. So for example, you came from that side of, yeah, you're all about aesthetics and nice, and you had this like New York and LA lifestyle, and you made good amount of money, and then you spend a good amount of money, and you were not really paying so much attention sometimes of what you would buy and how much that would be. And then you told me a couple of things like, wow, you spent that amount for that thing. So that's like the story, which I come from the opposite of, like, yeah, really double checking everything up, like pretty much everything I buy, and like really seeing the value of things and seeing, okay, is it really worth that amount, or, you know, can I get it somewhere else or a different version of it or whatever. But just like really being conscious about prices in generally and how much that means to me, you know. And if I gotta spend like $5 for a coconut, maybe I'm not gonna do it, because it's just, you know what, $5, and I, you know, better, you know, drink water, or, you know, wait until I'm home and make a juice or whatever, you know.
It's so interesting, because also you come from this energy also of being very conscious of investing your money and feeling really safe doing that, even though my parents have, you know, they have their investments and they're very smart on that. I've always felt this fear of putting my money somewhere that I don't see it anymore. I, you know, for me buying this house that we live in now and like spending the money very quickly when I had a real estate deal and I made a huge amount of money, I immediately was uncomfortable with putting it into any sort of account. I was uncomfortable with my 401k savings account that I bought land, you know, to take that money out and then buying the house. So
yeah. There are a couple of funny things attached to it. So first of all, the previous point, the cool thing is that we, over the time, we got to inspire each other and balance out and meet more in the middle of things where, you know, you got more conscious about what you bought with what money and what the value of things is. And I got more, a bit more inspired to, spend my money differently too. And what you just shared about investing, I know because we talked about it a lot and then we got to the belief in you or the, so it's so interesting. So in many of the things, so speaking from a coaching perspective now, many of the things in our life and our patterns and our actions, they come from deep-rooted experiences or beliefs or patterns, things like that. And I remember, I still remember, we talked a lot about the things, also what you said about, you know, you investing money or you being comfortable or not comfortable with having a significant amount of money. And one time we talked about it and then you said something like, I don't like to deal with money.
I did say that.
So we had a long conversation. That's what it takes. You know, when you're like coaching things and discussions and you find out root causes for things, then you finally get to the actual root causes. And so I heard you say that sentence, yeah, I don't like to deal with money. And that explains why you got the money for commissions, for example, and then super fast you had to spend it again. Because if you don't like to deal with money, that automatically means you don't like to have money in the bank account, because that's when you got to deal with money. When you have a lot of money, you get to deal with it.
Yes.
You take care of it. You can have it somewhere. You keep it safe. You invest it, whatever you want to do. But you have a responsibility to deal with that amount of money. And you didn't like that. We found out that belief. And that's one of the reasons that explains why you spend it very fast without thinking what might be the best way. And it can also explain why you never really have a large amount of money as a cushion or investment or anything anywhere, because if you don't like to deal with it, then it just feels better for you if it's gone wherever.
And isn't that so interesting too, because I feel like that's so many people have that as well, where they can bring money in. So for example, for me, I'm very good at bringing abundance in. Money flows easily to me. I have no fear of my value, of, you know, speaking what I know is true for my services, for the energy exchange that I put in, for the quality of love and attention that I give to my clients, to the retreats. So it's very easy for me to receive money. Right.
And that's amazing too, because that was one of the things very inspiring for me, because for me, due to different other experiences and growing up, for me it was more that, you know, I had to really grow my self-worth and the self-value, and then I got into freelancing and offering my services, so I really was on quite a journey of really knowing my value, knowing the value of my work, and charging accordingly, and allowing to receive the money accordingly. So you had no challenge with that whatsoever, which was super inspiring. And when we started doing things together and retreats and things like that, you kind of took the lead on that, which was super, super awesome too.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's interesting that I was able to bring the money in with zero fears about it. And then once it's there, what do I do with it?
Yeah.
And how does that come into play with, you know, scarcity mindset or not having any money in the bank account? How do we, can we talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like, first of all, sounds like a great match, the two of us.
Yeah.
Complementing our experiences and our skills, which is epic. That's why we could learn so much together, because we have these contrasts. And that was amazing. And so one interesting thing, and I see that for many people with many things, is that, so you said your parents did actually a really great job doing that, like working and investing and saving, and they did a great job doing this, but you had a challenge with that.
Yes.
So, and the funny thing is, it's very simple. It's one word, and I often see that with people, and it's just rebelling against it. It's just like doing the opposite because your parents tell you to do this,
yes.
or but you should do this, you should save that, and or for different other reasons, it might be that you that people want to be, you know, kind of more pushing away for, you know, parents or system or teachers or whatever it is, and yeah, so that explains a lot already. That
yes.
could be one.
So let's. Reason. This is really interesting. So the system, right? Of let's say I worked on Wall Street, obviously, and I had mistrust in the financial system after working on Wall Street. So at that point is when I got out, when I moved to Costa Rica, I couldn't wait to pull my money out of my 401k. I was just itching to do it. And when I finally landed in Santa Teresa and I knew I wanted to buy land there, I bought land as fast as I could. I found the place. I was looking, sold it. And then here we are and we live on our land here in on the other coast. And so that is an investment. However, the more challenging investment is, and what we've been talking about, is investing your money in a non-tangible place. For example, like crypto. And that's been such one of these words, these buzzwords that I've been hearing about since living in LA. I had tons of friends in the early stages that were all up in crypto, and I was always kind of skeptical. Though, I'm wondering if we can talk a little bit about that, because for someone like me, who was really mistrusting of the financial industry that I had worked in, then investing in crypto still seemed a little bit scary to me. But can we talk about that?
And the funny thing is, without going more into detail, because I first want to touch on something else, but the funny thing about literally that is that this is the exact reason why you would invest in crypto, especially because you come from a financial industry, you know it, you mistrust it, you mistrust the system, you see what's going on. This is the perfect reason to then go and invest in crypto. But I know, I understand that's to do that, you got to understand it a bit more and know a bit more about that and all that. But I think there are a couple other underlying things that it's not so much about what you invest in and what you do with your money. I think it's more about what, like the mechanism itself and the theme and the mindset around saving or spending or investing. And it's so funny. A couple days ago, I read a thread somewhere, and I'm not sure if it's exactly true, but in that article, it was written that Switzerland in Europe is one of the countries with the highest percentage of millionaires. And then this guy said, okay, so he wanted to research and know and study what the Swiss people do differently than maybe some other countries and why there are so many people that have really that are really well off financially. And so he wrote a bunch of points. And so one of the things is that he said, the Swiss people in Switzerland, they invest first and then they spend the money. And what most people do in the world is they first spend the money and then whatever's left, they invest. And I also did a 3-year money abundance investment, you know, course, mentorship course. So I also know that from there. So it really helps to have systems in place where you take percentages of whatever your income is and distribute it to the different, you know, sub accounts or envelopes or whatever you want to do it. But, you know, part of it goes to investment, part of it goes to your backup, you know, buffer account, whatever, part of it to your expenses, part of it to education, part of it to your fun, you know, so you can distribute automatically from whatever you receive. So having systems in place is a really, really cool thing, because that just enables it for you to not have the situation where, oh, suddenly you're at the end of the month and you spend all the money and there's nothing left to invest. Or like you come from your big lifestyle, New York, LA lifestyle, and you keep spending all the money for all the things, you would have had so much money to invest back then. Like you would have had it, but you just spend it on other things that you didn't really need. So when you have a system in place where you say, okay, whenever you have the income and like 10% goes to investment straight away, there it is. So it's not missing anywhere because it just goes and it's surplus anyway because you know that. Then that makes it easy.
I love that. I love that now whenever client money comes in or retreats, every time it's so funny, I say, oh, I just got hired to do this sound journey for a retreat, or I just got this great new client, or I sold a bunch of essential oils, whatever it is. You keep saying at the moment that comes in, the first thing you say is, oh, sweetie, now you can put that money in crypto. Yeah. Every single time that happens. And at first I was getting very triggered because I was like, who are you to tell me where I'm going to put my money? Though I love that you are, as a relationship, it's amazing to have a partner who actually cares about your future and cares about your financial future and also your well-being. And that's really cool.
Yeah, and you know, I studied and learned so much about it. And I also by far don't do a best job myself. I can say that too, but at least, you know, I'm learning and I'm knowing the things. And, you know, when I see and when I hear about it, and for example, crypto, I talked with my dad about it, but he knows about it anyway. But I told my mom about it, told my brother about it, I tell you about it, you know, all the people, like other friends, you know, previous partners, like I tell everyone about it that I care about, because I have that knowledge and understanding, and just give them an insight and say, hey, you know, this could be really cool and this could be interesting. And because I don't get anything from that per se, it's not about I get commissions or earn money or anything. No, nothing. But I would like when I'm, let's say, you know, a year from now, and then I'm super happy because I did invest in crypto, just as one example, and I'm super happy and I'm super well off, and you know, I made a big success. I would like to have people around me that I can celebrate with, you know, and that not say, oh, I didn't know anything about it. I wish I, you know, I can celebrate with them, because equally we all have gained something from that. That's so much more fun than just being there myself.
I'm excited about that, sweetie. It's amazing because I see how much your account has grown and in the past couple of years of us being together, and I've been waiting to do it, and you know, now I'm just like, okay, I want to rise with you. When you're rising in love and you're rising as a couple, it's so nice to share in that joy financially. And you know, it's just like when we paid off our taxes, when each of us paid off taxes, we would celebrate. And when we'd pay off loans and we pay off these things, and then earning money too, it's celebrating each other. And I love how you celebrate when I have a great new client or something comes in. You've also been celebrating that with me, and now bringing the investing into it as well. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is I always see, you know, right now I see that if we get just crypto is really one example, but it can be many different things and investments, opportunities. I mean, crypto right now and Bitcoin especially, it's just a super powerful tool to invest in. And without going into detail, I really believe in it, as so do many other people. And what you see is pretty incredible. And then when I see you having, you know, money coming in from, we touched upon earlier, you have been good with it in the past, and you still have some things. Yeah, recently you sold a program you had online, or like a video course or something, just out of nowhere. There are like a couple hundred dollars, and the money you didn't plan to use for anything, the money you didn't necessarily need to use for anything. And for me, in my mind, that's just like right there. It's like, wow, cool. It's such a great opportunity to take that and invest it, because I see the future. I don't see the now so much in that sense. I see more the possibility, the potential, what can be made from that in like a year from now, only if you talk about crypto especially. So that's just how my brain is wired, to see the opportunity and think a bit more long term than short term. And then you do what you do oftentimes, like you spend the money on massages and things like that, and
that's,
I'm like,
an investment.
Oh, come on,
it's an investment.
I know, and you're right, it is an investment, and it's important, you know, it's health, and it's really good to do that and spend money on, invest money in yourself, in education and in health and supplements and, you know, gym or yoga classes, whatever you do. And at the same time, I think the balance, you know, that's why I So what I suggested you, just for the listeners, so I had this idea the other day and I thought, okay, wow, maybe I can motivate her to invest more with this simple strategy. And I thought, okay, she really loves massages. She gets massage every week and she loves it over everything. So Not over everything. Okay.
There's one thing.
Oh, thank you. I think that's me.
Yeah, that's you.
Oh, cute. but yeah, so I had this epiphany. I was like, wow, cool. I suggest to her, hey, sweetie, so for the future, why don't you just for every dollar you spend on a massage, you invest $1. So you match it up. So the more massages you get, the more you invest. And the more you invest, the more massages you get. And I had this great idea. I mean, let's see it. Let's see how it will maybe work out or not.
But I think it's going to work out. I'm already wanting a massage every day. Let's do it, universe. Let's go.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, but for sure.
I don't know. I think at the end, it's all about systems. You know, I had this. So with my money course, my abundance course over 3 years, my mentorship, that was really interesting for so many different reasons. And it was a lot about mindset, of course, and energy. And then, some more like hands-on, you know, classical or analytical things, and some more spiritual things even. Although the mentors were not, I wouldn't per se call them super spiritual or something like that. They were much more in the other world. But still, and so what we one task we did, or they had us do, is to build up, so what they called is a money magnet. So it would basically be that money attracts money, and the more money and valuable things you have energetically, it will attract more money. And I can also tell you examples how it works and how we started together. And again, I told you about it and you started doing it kind of hesitantly, and sometimes more, sometimes less, and you would also feel and see results, right? So how it works is okay, it depends on the country you are, but you can say, so any small change you get, you keep and you put it in a jar and you never spend that money, and you build it up to build your money magnet. So for example, in Germany, we have the smallest note, the smallest bill we have is €5. So because my mentorship was based in Germany, so they said, okay, all the money, like all the coins and the €5 note, whenever you get one, you keep it and you make a photo of it, post it in a group like every month to kind of like, you know, incentivize and, you know, for what's it called, to stick to it. And so you build up jars of coins and small bills. So in the US, you could do, I don't know, $1. You have $5. $1, $5.
$5.
So I don't know, you could keep all your $1 bills, all your coins, or like, it's really open. Like in Costa Rica, I kept. We did it with the smallest two notes, which was like $2 and $4 or something, yeah, so to speak. And that's really interesting because, first of all, people will say, you know, why? You're crazy. Like, don't you need that money? Isn't it better to invest that money? And because eventually you have a whole jar full of bills and coins, and it's going to be hundreds of dollars. And so why not use the money? So without going much into it, it's just an example because there are whole books about it. And it's super powerful, and it's powerful in terms of the mindset, because one thing I can tell you is that when I started doing it, and I never missed that money. It was never that I said, oh, you know, I wish I had that money not spent. So that's just a very simple example to show even that, yeah, whenever you do things first and prioritize, you can make it work that you have something that you can invest or save. You know, it was so funny to see that I built up jars of coins and bills, and I didn't miss the money. I have it right in front of me, actually. And so that's a really cool example of what happens when you just, quote-unquote, blindly follow a strategy. You know, you could also do like, okay, every $1 bill I get, I save. And then you do that for a year. And then you know, I don't know what you do with it. You invest it, you go on a trip, you whatever you do. But just a simple example. And for many people, it's so much easier to save money than they think.
Yes, I think it's a lot of internal resistance or fear. And so a big prompt or exercise could be after this episode, if it calls to you, is to maybe write down, journal any of the resistances you have to putting aside money to use in the future versus the now. And and then also write down some of those dreams and wishes that you, if you had that money, what would you do with it? You know, if you had that savings and then it went towards something, what would it go towards? Would it go towards continuing education, a course? Would it go to a travel opportunity, a retreat? Would it be to land, a house, you know, a vehicle, or perhaps investing in crypto or some other way to have your money grow? Yeah. So, and then you get to see what are your resistances to having that, and how can you start to allow yourself to have a new mindset around money? Because that's been a huge thing for me, is allowing myself to have a new mindset.
Totally, yeah, same here. I think the first thought would always be to find out your existing beliefs about money. And then it's super fascinating because so many things you will find out, sentences you hear all the time from friends, from parents, from teachers, whoever, like all these beliefs of, yeah, you got to work hard for your money and you got to earn it and all these kind of sentences. There are many more that I don't remember right now, but all these like things. And then about money itself, you know, you don't talk about money. And I don't know, then there are so many other things attached to money that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, money is the evil or something like that. Like so many things that are being said about money from all kinds of people that are ingrained in our brains and minds, and that it's really interesting what builds up over years.
Or even the saying I remember too, like money doesn't make you happy.
Yeah.
And then so people have this kind of repulsion of money. Oh, I don't need money because that's not my way to happiness.
Yeah.
So I remember hearing that saying so often, and then money can't buy happiness. And the fact is, if it does, then it's fine. You don't have to feel shame around it. You know, like if money buys you land and a beautiful home and you feel happy to create and you feel safe, then, you know, that's great. There's no shame in that. There's no shame of going on a vacation with your loved ones or by yourself for joy and pleasure because you're a human and you're meant to enjoy life. You know, there's no shame in having money and doing with it what your heart desires. And then also the other part too is when you have money that you can give generously, whether it can be to your partner, your friends, it feels, your family, it feels so good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, for example, to come back to your mom, that's one thing. She likes shopping, and what's really sweet that she does a lot of shopping and then for other people and then sends people things,
she,
you know,
sends
your family.
Everyone,
and
yeah, she sends everyone gifts and she loves it because she's so fortunate that she worked so hard to have this money and then to save that she can give so freely and so abundantly and so generously, and it makes her so happy to do that. I love that. I feel it's so endearing, and it's such a great example of how you can use your work ethic and what you have for something that it's, you know, shopping doesn't have to feel shameful. Shopping can be the most beautiful way to move energy, and money is currency. Money is flow. Money is coming in, it's going out. So figuring out, am I blocked in either the receiving or the giving it out? Because for me,
or keeping it.
Yeah, because sometimes there's a block in one of the, money is meant to it's God's bank account or it's the universe's bank account. So it's meant to energetically flow. And it's interesting if you take a moment and have some introspection of, okay, where is my currency being, where is it flowing? Where is it really effortless? Is it receiving the money? Okay, great. Then what do I do with it? Am I holding it in my fear? Is there scarcity once I have it? Or is it just like going in all directions and I have no control over it, or no direction? What is the relationship you have with it? And think of it like a lover. Think of it like, I remember being in courses around abundance, and I was always told to think of money like, how would I treat a lover? And it was like, oh, okay, they come in, great.
Yeah.
Then they go.
That's actually a really good point, because there's one book that is literally doing that. So the author is literally describing money as a woman. And it's super interesting. To be honest, I still actually didn't make it to fully read it, but I heard about it a lot, and it's super fascinating because that's one thing. There are so many nuances to it, but so many things I learned in my course too. Is, for example, how you treat money. It literally means starting with how you keep your money and your bills. Like you just crumble it in some pockets or in some you know, they're all like you know, folded over and have these little like, what's it called, the corners there.
Creases, yeah.
Yeah, or you do it nice with some good energy, and you take care of money already there. Like you welcome the money in, which means, okay, I receive a bill and I fold it in, and I put it nicely in my wallet. You know, I keep it all nice and not just flying all over everywhere. Just that energy that you put in is already doing something where the money likes to stay with you and likes to come to you. And it sounds spiritual, I know. And at the same time, we are spiritual beings and the whole universe is spiritual, so there must be something with that.
I really believe in that too, because I was crumpling, before you told me about this too, I was just crumpling my bills and even giving them to people. They would be all in different directions and kind of like folded weird and just like all weird. And it's a relationship. Money likes to be treated kindly and gently and placed in a nice wallet. Like even having a nice, when I feel like I upgrade my wallet, I always feel like, ah, oh, you know, that feels better. My money's kept in there versus something that's falling apart. So I think that that's also something that you can, a little exercise or takeaway, that you can see how you're treating your money and touching your money and where you store it and how you know, when you go to the ATM, that's another thing that you were telling me together. I was having all this anxiety around going to the bank and just being like, oh, I hate going to the ATM or the line or da da da. And then putting the energy into positivity when I go of, oh, I get this opportunity. I've started to get this excitement when I go to the ATM and I take out money for my account or our joint account or your account. And I go and I have this energy of gratitude of, oh, I'm going to the ATM. I have money to take out. This is exciting. This is great. Everything's going to be fine. The money's going to come out. And that's a great new mindset shift.
Yeah, that's also generally the energy of things. When you know, whenever you get a letter from some financial institute, you straight away think, oh, it's going to be like an invoice or like something bad, you know, some money to pay. You know, that's just the energy you put in things. So it's like, to connect, shifting your mindset again from maybe even when you had that experience or the history, shifting your mindset again from expecting good news, expecting positive mail, and then when you go into the bank, expecting it to be easy and being grateful towards all the employees of the bank, and just switching around the approach and the mindset and the energy you project onto the whole thing is really helpful too. So, but yeah, generally first step always super good from our experience, starting with self-inquiry, and that's super simple. Just self-inquiry in terms of how's your relationship to money, or how is my relationship to money? Like, how are my experiences? How are my beliefs? And then you just write down and you talk with someone about it, and then you see what actually is there, and you can go as deep as you like, and then it might help you already to find out some very interesting and surprising insights about your relationship with money. And then from there, it's super cool to take some more steps. And then you see, okay, why you might not invest, or, you know, maybe sometimes it's just because you have some block or not receive so much. Maybe you have some blocks there. Maybe you have some beliefs there. Maybe you just simply don't really know what to do. Maybe you just didn't really pay attention. Like, there can be so many different reasons and scenarios and things. So self-inquiry is definitely a first great step. And I think, considering the time now, it will be super cool to have another part two of this conversation. Yes. Because there's so much more to uncover, because there's so much more to share, so much more to say, and also some personal experiences and stories that we can share. That would be super fun to talk about, and some more learnings maybe too, maybe even from some other people and some mentors. So let's do part two. I'm already very excited. It's going to be next week.
Yes, it is. And I already have something I wanted to chime in with, but I'm just going to wait so y'all can hear it one more week.
Yeah, me too. Like, there's so many cool, like, stories and examples from personal journeys. You know, for me, it's like getting started, of becoming a freelancer and the first own projects, and, you know, living circumstances and super fun inside things.
Yeah, little stories and nuggets that not many people know about us. So let's go into next week. And yes, let us know how this episode moved you, inspired you, empowered you. Any intimate questions or anything you'd like to share with us, we're really open and appreciative to receive from you.
As always. And we are always going to ask you, but if you allow us, also we are super happy to share some of your, you know, emails and, like as we did today, some of your stories or questions or reflections. That's always fun to make it a bit more engaging.
Our email is hi@pranamore.com. You can find us on Instagram at Pranamore Musica, so music with an A at the end. And we are very happy to be here in Costa Rica offering retreats, cacao ceremonies, all sorts of magic. So if you feel called to come out here and enjoy a moment with us, we would absolutely love to meet you in person.
Yeah, so that's it. Hope you enjoyed today's episode and see you next time.